Hi there, this is the Romance Program. I'm Volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. I've got one story coming up this hour. It's from True Love magazine called More Than Friends. Here's the story. Joel stopped by my desk first thing Monday morning. "Well," he asked expectantly, "what did you think of Crystal?" I made a face. "Crystal, her name just says it all," I answered matter-of-factly. "Blonde, bubbly, and no brains whatsoever." He frowned at me. Joni, you never like anyone I go out with," he replied impatiently. "No one is ever good enough, according to you." "Tank, what do you even talk to her about?" I asked. "She didn't know one thing about current events, sports, or even TV shows." "I've told you 100 times not to call me Tank," he muttered. "My name is Joel. I was Tank when I weighed 280 pounds. "I've called you Tank since third grade," I argued. "It doesn't mean I think you're still fat, and you didn't answer my question. What do you guys talk about? She has the IQ of a donut." "Speaking of IQ points," he replied, grinning broadly, "let's talk about your date." He had one topic of conversation: himself. I shrugged. "Well, he does have an important job," I answered evenly. "And he's a dentist, Joni," he interrupted, chuckling. "Not a heart surgeon. He spent the whole night describing why you have to remove wisdom teeth before they cause real problems." I had to laugh with him. "Yeah, I guess Neil came off as pretty boring last night," I agreed. "But he is good looking." Joel rolled his eyes. "Well, he certainly thinks he is," he answered, "as well as brilliant and charming and the best dentist in the world. Come on, you have to admit that he was one giant pain in the butt last night." "I'll agree to that statement," I answered, teasing him a bit. If you admit Crystal was just as bad." He laughed and nodded. You know what's going to be really weird?" he asked, getting up to go up to his own desk. "When one of us finds someone that we're really serious about." "Why will that be so weird?" I asked, puzzled. "It's bound to happen sooner or later." He shrugged. "Because then that person will be our best friend instead of it being us," he answered casually. "Hey, want to go out for lunch today at that new place?" I nodded absently, trying to recover from the shock of what Joel had just said. I wasn't stupid. I knew that someday things would have to change with our relationship, and I wouldn't have admitted it for any amount of money, but I had been secretly relieved when I had met Crystal last night and realized she was completely wrong for Joel. Our relationship was strange to a lot of people, but not to us. Since we'd met in third grade, we had just clicked. Of course, there had been an obvious reason for that. Joel had been the fat kid, and I was the tallest girl in class. His nickname was Tank, and mine was Beanpole. We were misfits, no question about that. But we were also both really smart and had a ton of stuff in common. We liked the same movies, music, and TV shows, and we could spend hours together just hanging out and talking. When we hit junior high, things got worse for both of us, which just made us better friends. Joel kept gaining weight, and I kept growing taller. In addition, I developed acne and had to have braces. Finally, in ninth grade, I told Joel we needed to do something to change our lives. We need a plan, I announced. A plan? He repeated, frowning. What kind of plan? To change ourselves, I said impatiently. Look, there's nothing I can do about how tall I am, but at least my doctor thinks I finally stopped growing, and you always talk about how much better you'd look if you lost some weight. So what's the plan? He asked suspiciously. A diet of carrot and celery sticks? Well, to begin with, we have to stop sitting around eating chips and watching TV after school, I began. In fact, we could start riding our bicycles to school. What? He demanded in disbelief. Have you completely lost your mind? That's 3 miles each way. I can't bike that far every day. I laughed. Maybe that is a bit much to start with, I agreed. But we could ride them to the park after school every day and then walk on the hiking trail. That's less than a mile. He said doubtfully. I don't know if... Oh, for heaven's sake, Tank, I interrupted impatiently. I'm not saying you have to run a marathon in the next 2 months, but what could be the harm in getting some exercise? Nothing, he admitted grudgingly. Only what brought this on all of a sudden? I hesitated. I don't know. I answered truthfully. I guess I'm just tired of being the ugly girl. I mean, face the facts. You're the only guy in school who really talks to me. He frowned. You're not ugly, Joni, he said quietly. Why would you say something like that? I think you're beautiful. I stared at him in surprise. I'm not beautiful, I finally managed. Not even close. He grinned. Now, who's being negative? He asked. Okay, so we exercise and eat right. That's the plan? I nodded, still a little stunned by Joel's thinking I was beautiful. Sure, but the good thing is we'll be doing it together, I said excitedly. We can be each other's coaches. I didn't want to be the most popular girl in school, or maybe I really did, but couldn't see it happening. I just wanted guys to think I was attractive and girlfriends to share things like slumber parties and shopping trips with. It will be good for us, I finally said. Okay, he groaned good-naturedly, but let's go have a couple of cheeseburgers and fries at the grill for the last time. I smiled. Yeah, okay, I answered. But it will be the last time. I'm serious about this. This is for both our sakes. When we were munching on our favorite meal, I couldn't help myself from asking, Joel, why did you say I was beautiful? I'm average at best. And he laughed. Joni, you always concentrate on what you think is wrong with you, he interrupted matter-of-factly, like how tall and skinny you are. And, I asked impatiently, well, you are tall and skinny, he answered, taking a big bite of the cheeseburger, but so are all supermodels. By next year, most of the guys in our class will be taller than you are, and you're bound to, you know, fill out eventually. And you've got great hair, he continued. It's not too curly or too straight, just kind of wavy. I stared at him in amazement. You've analyzed my hair? I asked. Joni, you're my best friend, he answered calmly. I look at you all the time. Your eyes are beautiful, kind of a hazel color with flecks of green. When you describe me that way, I do sound gorgeous, I answered, tilting my head and pretending to fluff my hair. Joel blushed. You asked, he replied. I mean, of course, I like you for what's on the inside, too, but I've noticed the rest. Yeah, I suppose, I replied. And thanks. He looked at me with a little smile. Well, he asked. Well, what? I replied, confused. Isn't this the part where you tell me how good-looking I am? He he asked, and tell me my best features? Joel, you know you're good looking, I answered easily. It's just your weight that's the problem. I guess that's supposed to be a compliment, he replied dryly. Thanks. I looked at him strangely. You're not going to go all insecure on me, are you? I asked. I depend on you to have the strong self-esteem in this relationship. Over the next few months, Joel and I stuck pretty carefully to our plan of diet and exercise. It was hard for both of us, but particularly Joel, who loved fast food and anything sweet. More than once, he simply couldn't resist, and I would find him munching on a candy bar or a piece of pizza. And then we both started to notice the results, and it was pretty exciting. Joel's was the most obvious change. He started losing weight, and the fat turned to muscle instead. Soon he was buying new clothes because the old ones didn't fit. One day I met him after school, and he was standing by his locker with a goofy grin on his face. What's up? I asked suspiciously. You look strange. Kelly Lucas just talked to me, he said, like he was lost in another world. I mean, she just came up to me a few minutes ago and asked me about the homework assignment in English class. I made a face. Well, why wouldn't she? I asked matter-of-factly. You're the smartest kid in the class. Kelly Lucas, he repeated, with that same dreamy look on his face. You know, as in the hottest cheerleader in school, she's never even looked at me before. I was torn between two strong emotions at that point. One, I was proud because the whole diet exercise plan had been my idea and it had worked. But for some reason, I also felt a wave of overwhelming jealousy. Finally, my pride won out. I told you, I said triumphantly, I said all you had to do was lose some weight. Well, she didn't ask me out, he answered, snapping back to reality. But she did talk to me. Suddenly, almost overnight, Joel and I became pretty popular. Joel joined the basketball team and was editor of the school paper. I was on the volleyball team and headed up the yearbook committee. We were invited to the best parties, and we both had our share of dates. But we never let our friendship suffer because of our newfound popularity. I had girlfriends to shop and gossip with, but it was Joel I trusted with my most personal thoughts and ideas. A couple of times we had even slept over at each other's house because our parents had long ago given up on the idea that we would ever date. In our senior year, something big did happen. I fell in love with John Foster. He was gorgeous, with thick, dark hair and brown eyes, and he played in a rock and roll band on the weekends. From the beginning, Joel didn't like him. He's too oily, he tried to explain at last. It's like you can't pin him down to anything. I don't trust him. Oh, too bad, I teased lightly, because we were going to get married next weekend. Now I'll have to cancel those plans. Ha ha, he said, without smiling. He doesn't seem like the marriage type, more like the type who will try to get you into bed than leave type. I frowned. Look, I really like him, Joel, I replied seriously. Maybe I'm even falling in love with him. You're my best friend, and I need you to like him, too. Fine, he snapped irritably, but don't say I didn't warn you. Unfortunately, Joel turned out to be right about John. 3 months after our first date, I found out that he had spent the night with an old girlfriend. I was heartbroken and
turned to Joel immediately for comfort. "Oh, Joni," he said unhappily. "Don't say it," I said, sobbing in his arms. "Don't say I told you so."
"I wasn't going to say that," he said gently. "I was going to say I'm sorry he hurt you. He's a jerk."
I nodded and kept on crying. "He is a jerk," I said, tears streaming down my face. "Do you want me to beat him up?" Joel asked. I looked up at him in surprise, and then actually surprised myself by starting to laugh. "You've never been in a fight in your life," I answered. "He probably hasn't been either. That would be some fight." "Well, I do have another idea," he answered slowly. "And it would be better revenge than me punching him." I was intrigued. "What's your idea?" I asked. He took a deep breath. "Okay, look," he replied calmly. "John doesn't know that you found out he slept with his old girlfriend, right?" I nodded. "Jessica told me about it," I answered. "She saw them together at a party and asked around." "And are you really done with him?" Joel persisted. "You're sure you don't want to get back together with him?" I shook my head violently. "No, no way," I said fiercely. "He makes me sick. You were right. He is oily." He nodded. "Okay, here's my idea," he replied. "And you're going to think it's kind of weird." "Try me," I said, hiccuping a bit. "Look, everyone knows we always hang out together," he replied, studying my face for a reaction. "And we tell everyone we're best friends, but nobody quite believes us, right?" I smiled. "Yeah," I agreed. So we let John catch us together," he answered, grinning. "You avoid his calls all weekend. Monday afternoon, he'll see us making out by your locker." "Wait a minute," I said, sitting up straight. "We'll be making out by my locker? Us kissing? As in you and me?" "Yes," he said. "It's a perfect plan. It makes it look like you were cheating on him the whole time." "But Joel," I protested, "you and I, we've never even kissed before," he finished for me. "I realize that. Can you fake it or not?" I thought for a moment and realized what a brilliant plan it was. "It would serve him right," I replied slowly. "This should do it," he said, grinning. "Say, how about we order a pizza and we'll pig out on ice cream too, just for tonight?" I nodded. "Sounds like a plan," I replied. "Is it okay if I crash here tonight? I'll call my parents and say we're studying late." "Sure," he agreed. "We'll watch scary movies and gain 10 pounds. I felt a tear slip down my cheek, but it wasn't for John. "Joel, you're my best friend," I said softly. "What am I going to do without you next year at college?" Joel's face grew serious. "It's going to be tough," he said quietly. "For both of us, we know that. But we both agreed we should go to different colleges." "I know," I said sadly, "but I'm going to miss you." "Well, I'm not gone yet," he answered, giving me a hug. "Come on, let's go get the pizza." As usual, Joel and I had the best time together. Our taste in movies and music was exactly alike, and we could talk for hours about absolutely nothing at all. I was lucky to have him as my best friend. I was nervous on Monday afternoon when I met Joel by my locker after our last class. "You're sure about this?" I whispered. "It's not going to look fake." "Maybe we should have practiced on Saturday night," he said, teasing slightly. "Relax, I think we can kiss each other and make it look like we mean it." Joel put his arm around my waist and pulled me closer to him. "Smile at me," he whispered. "We're in love, remember?" I was trying to pretend that kissing my best friend was a normal, everyday occurrence, and then something amazing happened. Joel kissed me. That sounds really stupid, except that I felt like time had stopped. There was a whole cascade of feelings and emotions, and I didn't know how to deal with a single one of them. Finally, I pushed him breathlessly. What was that? I demanded, almost angrily. He looked confused. Joni, you're going to wreck this whole thing, he said, pulling me back for another kiss. His mouth came down on mine again, and I felt my stomach flutter. I couldn't help but respond by kissing him back. Good thing he saw that, Joel whispered in my ear. He just turned and walked the other way, and I narrowed my eyes to glare at him. I don't care about that now, I replied quickly. What just happened here, between us? Let's not discuss this here, he said, grabbing my hand. Come on, let's go to my house. Well, I demanded when we got to his house. He sighed. Well, what? He asked, not meeting my eyes. You know perfectly well what, I said, staring at him intently. When you kissed me, the whole world exploded. Don't tell me you didn't feel it. I felt it, he replied calmly. I felt like slapping him. If we feel this way about each other, why aren't we a couple? I asked. And don't tell me you were acting back there. I wasn't acting, he said softly. So what do we do about it? I asked, slumping down on the bed beside him. He shook his head. Nothing, he replied calmly. Look, Joni, I've probably been in love with you since we started hanging out together in third grade. But you're my best friend. I can't lose that. Well, what makes you think it wouldn't work out? I asked. Maybe we're meant to be together. Joel groaned. Joni, we're 17 years old, he said miserably. We've got our senior year to finish up and 4 years of college ahead. 4 years that we agreed to spend at different schools, apart from each other. If we're sleeping together, that puts all sorts of new problems out there. Plenty of people, I began, and then stopped. I knew perfectly well what Joel was saying. Worse still, I knew he was right. See, he asked simply, it's going to be hard enough to say goodbye to you next August. I know, I said, feeling like I might start to cry. And if our parents thought for even a minute that we were more than friends, he began, then I couldn't even be here, I finished for him absently. I got it. Sorry, he apologized. It was a dumb idea to kiss you. No, it wasn't, I whispered. It was nice. It was really nice. You're not making this any easier, Joni, he replied, smiling. What do you want from me? I don't know, I answered unhappily. What if we made love just once to see what it was like? To see what it's like? He repeated impatiently. Damn it, Joni, that's the most ridiculous thing you've suggested yet. What do you think? I wouldn't want to do it again? No, well, maybe, I answered helplessly. I don't know. Just Joel reached for me and pushed me down on the bed. Is this what you want? He asked a bit angrily. He leaned down to kiss me while placing the full weight of his body on mine. To lose your virginity on a Monday afternoon in this bedroom where we've spent half our lives? Just like that? When Joel kissed me, it was hard to think straight. Yes, I answered huskily. Why not? Oh, Joni, he replied, I can think of about a million reasons why not, starting with the fact that 2 days ago you were crying your eyes out over John Foster. I giggled. Well, you sure thought fast, I answered, snuggling against him. I don't think you even want to make love to me. Joel groaned and pulled me tight against him. God, I don't know what I'm thinking anymore, he murmured. But the one thing I do know is that I want to make love to you. But I also know I don't want it to be like this, he continued quietly, all hurried and awkward and crazy. You're right, I agreed reluctantly. Okay, so now what? I don't know, he said miserably. But Joni, we need to think this through carefully. Once we have sex, well, we can't go back and undo it. I don't want us to make a huge mistake. I don't think it's that big of a deal, I argued. Okay, we're kids, I get that. But if it doesn't work out, then we can just go back to being friends. I don't know if it works like that, he said, kissing the top of my head. I think sex complicates everything. Then let's make a promise, I said, sitting up suddenly. We won't rush into anything, but we won't rule it out either. Joel leaned back against the bed for a minute. It would change everything, he said, sounding sad. I mean, not that it would be bad, but everybody would treat us differently. We'd treat each other differently. The next few months are going to be hard enough, he continued in a faraway tone of voice. Do we really want to add more stress to everything else we're going through? I smiled. Joel, you overanalyze everything, I replied truthfully. And you don't think far enough ahead, he answered calmly. Just answer one question. Do any of the couples we know stay friends after they break up? No, I answered, but they probably don't start out as friends either. Look, I know what you're saying, and you're right, but the thing is, I continued slowly, I never even thought about it at all until you kissed me like that. What I felt was spectacular. Then listen to me, he said, grabbing my hand and staring at me intently. If it's real and it's meant to last, it will, but it isn't meant to be right now. Okay, I agreed painfully. I got it. If Joel and I had wanted to, we would have had 100 opportunities to sleep together during the rest of our senior year and throughout that summer. We were constantly together and alone a lot. We still slept overnight together sometimes, and Joel and I could have easily gotten a motel room or used a friend's house. But we didn't. I trust Joel more than anyone else in the world. He was the first one I told when I made my decision about where I was going to college. He nodded sadly. We'll be about 500 miles apart, he replied. But it's the best school for you, Joni. I know, I replied, close to tears, and they offered the biggest scholarship, but we'll be home for Thanksgiving, and it won't be the same, and you know it, he interrupted. Let's not start out by lying to each other, okay? This will change things. I think you'll always be my best friend, though, I answered after a moment. I don't think there will ever be anybody else like you in my life. Saying goodbye to Joel was unbelievably hard. I hugged him so hard he teased that I broke one of his ribs. I wasn't laughing, however. I was sobbing too hard to even think straight. Joni, don't, he said, holding me close. This isn't the end of us. You know that. I'll always love you. I expect to hear that you're going to parties and having the time of your life. But we've always done everything together, I sobbed. How can I have the time of my life without you? He tilted my face up and kissed me hard. Because I need you to, he answered gently. I need to know we're both going to be okay. Are you going to be? I asked. I feel like I'm making the biggest mistake of my life. No, you're not, he said. For firmly, "We're not. But I like this," I said, loving the feel of his arms around me. "And you like college," he said gently. "You'll love it." And Joel was right about that as well. It took a while to get used to being away from home and him, but gradually I started enjoying campus life and my classes. There were pizza parties and all-night study sessions. "Is that your boyfriend?" my roommate Tara asked me one day while I was typing away on my computer. I shook my head. "Better than that," I answered. "Joel is my best friend." I got home the day before Thanksgiving, and Joel was waiting for me at my house. I threw my arms around him and wouldn't let him go. "I missed you," I whispered into his ear, "so much." We were practically inseparable that weekend. I ate Thanksgiving with his family, and then he came to mine and ate again. We were stuffed, but I felt like we had a million things to say to each other and not nearly enough time to say them. For Christmas, Joel gave me a gorgeous silver necklace with a small diamond on it. It was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. "Oh, Joel," I breathed in awe, putting it on. "I feel terrible. I only got you a couple of DVDs you wanted." He grinned. "I guess I'm just more generous than you are," he replied. Later that night, when we walked through the house, I looked up to see a sprig of mistletoe over the door. Impulsively, I reached up to kiss Joel and felt the same wave of overwhelming passion I had as the last time. "Did you ever finish having that talk?" I asked, smiling. "You know, the one about the two of us?" Oh, she said, "Did we ever finish?" "Don't say it," he interrupted, groaning. "I think about it too much as it is." It was in my sophomore year I started going out with Peter Jensen. At first, it wasn't serious at all, but gradually I realized I was falling in love with him. When I kissed him, I felt the same stirrings of passion as I had with Joel. Within 2 months of our first date, I stayed overnight and we made love. As awkward as it was, the first person I told was Joel. I couldn't help it. I was used to telling him everything. "How was it?" he asked, his voice steady and neutral. "Strange, I guess," I replied, thinking about it carefully. "I mean, it was okay, but neither one of us really knew what we were doing." "It gets better," he said quietly. "I mean, the more you do it, the better it is." "Joel," I said in shock, "you already slept with someone and didn't tell me?" I could almost see him shrugging. "I wanted to tell you," he answered. "I didn't know how to. It feels kind of weird to even be talking about it now." I paused for a long time. "Do you think it's okay that we're talking about this?" I asked finally. "I mean, having sex with different people?" "It has to be okay," he replied gently. "I love you, Joni. You're my best friend. I want you to be able to tell me anything and everything. You're the only person I trust with everything." When we graduated from college, we had ended up back at home looking for jobs. Joel had found one first at Carson Advertising, then discovered there was a job opening for me there as well. "Are you sure?" I had asked him. "I mean, working together too? We already spend all of our free time together." "And now we'll get paid to be together," he said happily. "You know, you're awfully confident. You don't even have the job yet." "But I got the job, and we'd been working side by side for 2 years now, sharing lunches and breaks together every day. Our apartments were less than 2 miles apart. Sometimes we double dated, but Joel was right. I never liked anyone he went out with, and he always had something negative to say about my dates." All morning, I couldn't get Joel's words out of my mind about finding someone we were serious about. Would I lose my best friend? Surely my husband and his wife wouldn't want us talking about our love lives. When we were seated at the restaurant, I kept staring at Joel. "Okay, what's up with you?" he finally asked. "You've got a funny look on your face. Did you get yelled at because you were late to a department meeting or something?" "I've been thinking," I answered, raising an eyebrow. "All morning, as a matter of fact, about what you said." He was puzzled. "What brilliant thing did I say this time?" he asked. "I thought we only talked about how bad our dates were." I put my fork down and stared at him some more. "I think we should sleep together," I replied simply. Joel practically choked on his lasagna. "What?" he demanded. "What did I say this morning? What brought this on?" I ignored that. "Joel, you're my best friend," I said, frowning. "If I'm going to lose you to someone else, I at least want to be sure we did the right thing." "Now I'm completely confused," he answered. "I thought we agreed Crystal was all wrong for me." "She is," I answered impatiently. "But what about the new girl in marketing that keeps coming by to flirt with you, or someone you meet when you have to go to the marketing conference in Denver next month?" "Joni, what are you talking about?" he demanded. "What was the conference? What does that have to do with the two of us sleeping together? We talked about this way back in high school," I reminded him. "I wanted to make love then, but you said we weren't ready." "Joni," he began, shaking his head, I don't want us to think about it anymore," I interrupted bluntly. "I want us to do it." He sighed. "You make it sound so romantic," he replied. "How can I resist?" I made a face and ignored that. "If we make love, we'll know," I insisted. "We'll know if we could be more than friends." He started eating again. "You know, Joni," he said, shaking his head, "guys don't always perform that well under that kind of pressure. Fireworks?" I laughed. "Sorry," I replied. I don't know any other way to put it. I think we've waited long enough to make sure about the two of us." Joel didn't say anything for a long time. "Okay," he replied finally. "I mean, yeah, you know I love you. I think you're gorgeous, and I'd be nuts to pass up this chance. Did you have a time in mind?" I shrugged. "Saturday night," I said. "My place. We'll order Chinese, and yeah, I got the rest," he said, holding up one hand. "This is so weird. We're talking about it like we're going to paint your kitchen." "Well, I didn't mean for it to sound like that," I replied truthfully. "I just think we should do it." But back at work, I wasn't so sure. Had I just made a huge mistake? What if the sex was terrible? Okay, maybe not terrible, but just so-so. How did we face each other every day after we'd been naked together? All day Saturday, I was a bundle of nerves. I cleaned my apartment from top to bottom and changed the sheets on the bed. Should I light candles, I wondered. Get fresh flowers for the bedroom? I wanted everything to be perfect. When Joel got there, he held up a brown paper bag. "Your favorite cashew chicken," he said, "and a bottle of wine. Should I strip down now?" I couldn't help but smile at him. "You're not taking this seriously," I answered. "I cleaned all day for you." He grinned. "Then it's got to be important," he replied. "Look, just relax, Joni. We've got all night. Let's have a glass of wine." Joel took two wine glasses out of the cupboard and poured the wine. He handed me a glass, then took the other hand and led me to the living room. "Sit," he said gently. "I'm not going anywhere." "I'm nervous," I admitted. I know, he said. That's why I brought the wine. I finished the first glass pretty quickly and poured myself another. Okay, let's do this, I announced. He laughed. What did I tell you about performance pressure? He asked. Then his tone grew serious. Before we do it, I want you to be sure. Is this what you really want? I nodded. I do, I answered truthfully. Joel gathered me in his arms. Okay, he said huskily. Let's do it. He kissed me then, and my world started spinning. How could I have forgotten how magical his kisses were? I moaned softly as his hands slipped under my sweater, and I could feel his heart beating faster in response. Joel's mouth trailed soft kisses down my neck until the pleasure felt unbearable. I'm not quite sure, but we probably set some sort of world record in stripping our clothes off. Joel was demanding and gentle and passionate all at the same time. Every place he touched on my body felt like it was on fire. All I could think about was how wonderful it felt to have Joel making love to me. Everything seemed to click. I loved Joel, and I was in love with him all at the same time. He was all I had ever wanted. After it was over, I burst into tears. Immediately, Joel was alarmed. Joni, what's wrong? He demanded. I'm sorry. I put my finger on his mouth and shook my head. Don't say anything right now, please, I asked, tears rolling down my cheeks. Just hold me. Joel wrapped me in his strong arms and cradled me against his body. He kissed my neck, and gradually my tears stopped. Joel, I whispered softly, please tell me that it was as good for you as it was for me. He laughed out loud. Do you really have to ask? He replied, sounding relieved. Joni, there were fireworks, lots and lots of fireworks. I love you, I replied, kissing him fiercely. I love you too, he answered. Don't move. I brushed away my tears and waited while Joel looked for something. Here, he said, handing me a small box. What's this? I asked, puzzled. He kissed me again. Joni, I love you. Marry me. I opened the box and found the most beautiful diamond ring I'd ever seen. You bought me an engagement ring? I asked, stunned. When? Monday night, he answered, after work. But how did you know? I asked. Joni, I've loved you forever, he answered gently. I knew how I'd feel after I made love to you. I just needed to know how you felt. I guess I was hoping it would turn out this good. I feel like we should have done this a long time ago, I answered. Maybe, he agreed, but we have forever to make up for lost time. He slipped the ring on my finger and kissed the palm of my hand. I reached up to kiss him. Let's try it again, I whispered. Just to make sure. Joel didn't need more of an invitation than that. The second time was just as wonderful, and so was the third and fourth. Somewhere in between, we ate Chinese food and finished the bottle of wine. We moved into the bedroom and fell asleep, wrapped in each other's arms. Don't leave, I murmured sleepily. Never, he answered. It was both strange and familiar waking up next to Joel. Hey, he said softly. Any regrets? No, I answered smugly. You? None, he agreed. Except, I sat up quickly. What? I demanded. I don't know what we're going to tell our parents, he replied, shaking his head. We've spent years convincing them that there's nothing between us. You're still my best friend, I answered, running my fingers lightly over his chest. Joel kissed me. Forever, he whispered. Okay, that's the end of that story. And if you tuned in late, this is the Romance Program with volunteer Jeannie Yost for Sun Sounds. I've got time for another little short story. This is actually a feature from True Love magazine called How I Know I'm in Love. This one was written by Misty Jackson from Kentucky. Here's the story. I knew he was the one when I first saw him walk in the door. He wore blue jeans and a black t-shirt, his dark brown hair neatly trimmed, and his eyes an amazing hazel color. I was 7 months pregnant and a high school dropout. I'd lost touch with all my friends, and I spent my time working in my stepmom's small grocery store. I feared having to be a single parent. I placed an online singles ad, and to my surprise, I got a reply from a 26-year-old man named Charlie. He only lived about 15 miles away from me, and he was new to the area, which explains why I'd never had the pleasure of meeting him before. I was upfront about my situation. I was surprised when he just said, "I'm sure together we can make it through." We spent the next 3 nights talking on the phone for around 6 or 7 hours. I was shy, therefore he did most of the talking. We finally made plans to meet. He planned to come to the store and pick me up at around noon. We planned on going Father's Day shopping together at the nearby mall. However, when we got there, neither of us made a move to get out. Instead, we sat and listened to music and just talked about everything that was on our minds. It was nice having someone who would actually listen to me. Not long after we had started talking is when we shared our first kiss, a moment I'll never forget. I knew he wanted to be with me as much as I wanted to be with him. We continued to go out every night after work. I could be myself with him. He would play with my belly and talk to the baby as if it were his own. It got to where the baby knew his voice because as soon as Charlie came around, the baby became very active. We've had our good times as well as our bad, but we know that no matter what, we can always count on the other to be there. That's a gift in itself. He's my lover and my children's father, but most of all, he is my best friend. This month is our 7-year anniversary. Our love remains strong each day as we walk through this life hand in hand. I have no doubt that our love is meant to be, and I thank God every day for sending him to me. He's a wonderful man, and more than I ever dreamed possible. I know that what we have must be love. Okay, well, I still have a little bit of time left for this romance program, so I'm going to finish it with a little feature from True Love magazine called My Worst Date Ever. And this one was written by R.S. from South Carolina. My worst date ever. Here's the story. Okay, so Bernie, whom I met online, invites me to join him at an upscale restaurant downtown. We were to meet precisely at 9 in front of the big clock outside the restaurant. We were to wear the same outfits as in our internet profiles for easy identification. No last names were exchanged for safety's sake. I stood outside because if I were to wait inside, Bernie would have become confused amongst the vast crowd awaiting available seating. Well, at 9:45, boozing Bernie exits a taxi, wobbling over to me. He slurs, "Shelly?" Starved, I nodded and I say, "Yes." With no apology for being almost an hour late, Bernie and I enter the restaurant. While I give my name to the woman taking reservations, Bernie shoves his way through the crowd, knocking patrons into one another and causing the wait staff to drop trays of food. Once again, no apology. Bernie is anxious to locate the men's room. He asks waiters and seated patrons to direct him to the little boy's room, but he is too drunk to comprehend their directions. He then grins and slobbers to every seated person asking for the rest of their wine or champagne. Caught off guard and scared to refuse, they all give it to him. Bernie proceeds to dance around and gulp numerous bottles of wine while howling like a wolf. The irate owner walks over to Bernie and pushes him towards the outside door marked exit. Embarrassed by boozing, Bernie and his outbursts of intoxication, I grab our available table and enjoy a delightful and peaceful dinner alone. I have since changed my screen name and profile. It's good riddance to my worst nightmare and worst date ever. Okay, I'm going to finish this romance program with a poem. This one was written by Janelle Miladovich from South Haven, Minnesota, and it's called Crush. Here's the poem. A random touch is the most disquieting, the brushing of hands, a bump of the knee. In the aisle sends your heartbeat rioting, surprised to find he holds the key to a feeling you'd forgotten existed, that eighth grade fantasy of Mr. and Mrs. in doodled notebook cursive twisted into Valentine hearts and starbright wishes. Giggling ponytails at the pizza place, ask her to ask him if she knows if he knows. Squeals and blushes at the sight of his face as the teenaged god emerges from the video game Rose. But today, the sink's backed up and the phone bill's due. Smile and sigh, the grown-up world summons you. Okay, well, that is going to do it for this edition of the Romance Program. As always, thank you so much for listening. I've enjoyed reading to you. This has been Volunteer Genios for Sun Sounds. Have a great week. Take care, and I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.